Well, let's open our Bibles, brothers and sisters, and tonight, God willing, I believe we're going to close out this sweet study that we've had here in James. I have been so encouraged in my heart. I believe it's been such a sweet and anointed time that the Lord has fellowshipped with me and continues to fellowship with all of us, and I'm grateful to God. I hope it's blessed your heart greatly. But in wrapping up this tonight, I want to get to the fifth chapter, and we'll begin reading from verse 14. And it says there, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, as we begin this tonight, the Lord has encouraged my heart to talk about this praying in faith, the prayer of faith, and praying in the name of Jesus. And oftentimes, I'm asked, I would say it's rarely a week that goes by, someone doesn't call and say, "Well, you know, I asked the Lord in His name. I prayed sincerely. I believe the Lord had me pray this way, and God did not heal. God did not do it that way." And the question always comes up, "Well, did I believe Him?" Well, the first thing I say, I thank the Lord that by His grace you prayed in Jesus' name, that you came to Him. And in the name of Jesus, we're in the throne room. We're in the presence of God the Father and the Son. But see, brothers and sisters, this, and I'll use this term, this is a common head trip that the enemy does often to believers. And that's to have us doubt that when we pray for something that did not come to pass, when we pray for something that it didn't work out the way as we thought it should, we start to question our faith. We start to maybe question God. There are times that we have such pressing things going on in our lives that we come to God and we come boldly, as the Word of God tells us, and we ask and we seek Him and we knock. And the Word of God says to cry out even from the ends of the earth. He knows us. And I'll tell you, the one thing I'm finding out more and more is how much He knows me. And how incredibly He knows me. And how He's made me. And He knows my thought afar off. And praise be to God, He knows what I need. And brothers and sisters, know this, that when we do come to Him in the name of Jesus, that He always hears us. Even though Brother David said it's as sounding brass or it's like sounding brass, let me tell you something. It's not sounding brass. He hears you and He understands you and He knows exactly what we need. But brothers and sisters, we do not pray to God to make up His mind. We do not pray to God to change His mind. By faith, we pray to God to receive His mind. We do. That's faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People can talk about faith in a lot of different ways, but there is but one faith, and that is the Word of God. And faith comes in our life as we yield and believe the Word of God. That's what faith is. And faith becomes more strong as we believe more of the Word of God. See, brothers and sisters, we want to pray for His mind, to be conformed to His will, and to trust Him for the outcome. Now, I've said that to different ones before, but they say, "Now, brother, in John 14, and I say, "Well, why not? Let's go John 14, 15, and 16. Come on, bring it on. "Well, it says, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, that shall He give to you." Amen. The Word of God does say that. It says it a bunch of times in John 14, 15, and 16. And then I say in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so you just think by ending a prayer in the name of Jesus that somehow it's all going to come to pass the way you want. Okay, I'll stand up here and I say, there was a time in my life I was that foolish. Let me tell you something. This word goes far deeper than our selfish wants. The word is much deeper than our natural desires. And brothers and sisters, when we pray in the name of Jesus, do you realize what invitation that is? That's praying in the mind of Christ. And it is. It's entering in to the will of God. And it is. That's the fellowship that he's asking us to enter in with. We're talking about the union with him. And it's in that mind, brothers and sisters, that it will always then be with and in the will of God. See, Christ Jesus taught so sweetly that the simplest yet the greatest prayer of faith is, Father, thy will be done. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a peaceful, wonderful truth? That truly when his grace is apprehended to its fullest extent, that you can sit there in anything. And you can say, Lord, you know my heart would tend to this or would want it maybe this way, or I'm pleading for this. But your love is greater than my want. Your love is greater than my need. Your love is what knows what I need. And Father, thy will be done. What do you think about that? See, that's faith, isn't it? That's really trusting God. When we step out and we say, Lord, I know that your way, not just is best, but truly your way is it. Praise the Lord. And oftentimes in my life when I haven't received it that way, when I said, no, Lord, I'm going to hang in here and we're going to do it this way, it's been miserable. It's been disappointing. There's lots of things that come into my mind, but God, by your grace, bring, Father, thy will be done. And then it goes on in John, so let's not forget this. It says to pray in the name of Jesus, but it also says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So, brothers and sisters, when we're asking God things that are adverse or against the will of God, even though we say in Jesus' name, I hope that we know that we're not remotely in the universe of Jesus' name, and we're not even remotely in the universe of glorying the Father. And may we remember that this passage here in John 14 and 15 and 16 is speaking of the power that is soon to come. And that is the power of his might, that wonderful Holy Spirit. And as we get right back here in James, and we read it tonight, and we studied it last week, to anoint him with oil, this is talking about the Holy Spirit. The very power of his might, brothers and sisters. And here in James, this is the anointing. And see, we understand too, as we are revealed this wonderful word of God, see, the Holy Spirit, and with the Holy Spirit, these disciples will be able to hear from God with all truth understanding. See, they've been able to hear Christ. He's speaking to him. But Christ also said to them, I have many things to say unto you. But until he, the Spirit, is truth, is come. I can't say these things unto you because you can't understand them now. You can't even have a thought of what I'm talking about. But when he comes and he's been with you, and he shall be in you. He will guide you. He will lead you. He will take the things of mine and make them yours. He will bring you into all truth. Isn't that wonderful? So here we go, and we understand that this precious infilling of the Holy Ghost, you talk about a powerful prayer. It says praying in the Holy Ghost, doesn't it, brothers and sisters? See, this is praying with all understanding, with all truth. This is truly when one receives the mind, and we're talking about the mind of the mature sons of God that have grown up into him in all things. truly praying according to the will of God. Superseding all of that, so simply, Father, thy will be done. Father, thy will be done. And see, they're going to be able to pray then in according to his will and his purpose. And in that, I really believe this drives it home, brothers and sisters, the depths of this healing in James. It says, if any of you are sick, and remember we talked about this last week, the Lord was bringing us into this. This means weak in faith, goes on to talk about impotence, goes on to talk about unfruitfulness. And we know that, let me tell you something, that bride is anything but unfruitful. She is full of fruit. She is so abundant with fruit. Let me tell you something, she's feeding her family like nobody's business because she has that wondrous food coming in and coming out of her life. It's awesome that she can feed like that. It is the grace of God through her. But brothers and sisters, these ones that are weak in faith, that are sick here, see, the reason that they're in that state is something has gone awry. And what I mean by awry is it's gone awry from the will of the Father. Something has driven a wedge into the intimacy of fellowship. Amen? Isn't that what it is? When we do not feel, and I'll use that word, that we're very close to God, has he moved? Have you left his hand? Well, who changed? Amen. We know it's very clear. Where's the problem lie in the fellowship? I'll raise my hand. God, it's me. And this is the confession we're getting into tonight as well, too. Lord, it's me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And aren't we thankful for brothers and sisters like a prophet Nathan that in love will come and say, brother, you're the man. Huh? And thank God for a heart like David. He didn't strike him dead and cut his head off or something like that and just got defiant. That there was true repentance, wasn't there? And that's how this all comes to pass, brothers and sisters. It's called a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Praise the Lord. That's how we're going to grow up in him. That's how we're all going to be healed. We're going to have to quit being stiff-necked. We're going to have to quit saying, well, I'm right and you're wrong. You need to say, I'm sorry to me before I'm ever going to go on. Well, if that's what it's all about in your life, you're not going to go on. You're not going to move. Aren't you thankful that Jesus Christ didn't wait for us to say we were sorry? Because it never would have happened. It never would have happened, brothers and sisters. Come on now. This is the love of God we're talking about. You try to reach down inside of you for some of this, it's never going to happen because there isn't that. There's nothing good in this flesh. It's Christ and Christ alone. Now, when we don't have this intimacy of fellowship, when we're in this sickened state, there's some symptoms. You don't have joy. You might be bitter, angry, huh? Just mad, cantankerous. Ah, oh, don't tell me that. People start quoting you the word of God. Oh, I know that. No, you don't. You may be able to recite it. You might have it hanging on your wall, but you don't know that. Mm-mm. I know that I know. There's a peace. Amen? See, when looking up has ceased, the feet become weary and they become lame. And boy, what a time for a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And this brings us right into confessing your faults one to another. Now, brothers and sisters, this has nothing to do with the confession that so many want to satisfy their wicked flesh. That they think somehow, by me confessing something, that that's going to do some type of good. No, it's not. You have to understand, before thee and thee only have I sinned. This isn't speaking of that. Do you understand that? By God's grace, as Brother David, he knew that. I'm sure there were people coming all out of the woodwork and different things like that at him. No, Before thee and thee only have I sinned. If my testimony and my actions have hurt you, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I grieve. I do not want to do anything against the gospel of Christ. But before thee, him, God, and God only have I sinned. This is where we need to leave it and know this. Now, this confession, brothers and sisters, is getting real before God. This is when truly, and I love that life of David, when you get, I'll say it figuratively, naked before the Lord. Amen. Realize that. I'll tell you what, when you realize how naked you are before God, you'll dance, you'll sing, you'll praise Him. And it'll be a sweet time. It won't be something of, oh me, oh my. It'll be joyful. See, that's the confession. You see, a lot of times, no, it's no, thank you, Jesus. I'm free. I know that you have made me free. Thank God that your Spirit is quickening me to live it. That's the difference, brothers and sisters. This is this sweet confession, this healing that needs to go on. And when this really happens, it's truly given over. And I can speak this from experience of the grace of God. When you really give it over to God, praise His name, you don't go back to it. You play with it. We've heard the expression, well, I left it on the altar and before I got up, I took it back. No, you never left it on that altar. He'll take it. Praise the Lord. He will take it. And He does. It's not for a season when it's truly given over to Him. It is true transformation. I can speak about mulling over it. Oh, man, all the time I've wasted mulling over it. Quit mulling over it and get over it. And be the full overcomer in Christ. Set there many times in my life. In the mire, Brother Hill used to say, that prince, crown on his head, sitting out there in the pig pen. Well, the Lord's dealing with me. I know the Lord's dealing with you. He's dealing with you right now, and He's saying one thing, rise up. Amen? But we do, we get into this, almost this hypnotic defeat. Well, the Lord's dealing with me. Well, the Lord's dealing with me. The Lord's dealing with me. Reckon Him faithful and be delivered. And sometimes people take this wrong and they say, well, brother, you know, come on. You know we go through. Well, sure, I know we go through trials. And trials have seasons, brothers and sisters. But I'm so thankful to God that He showed us that in the midst of the trial is where we need to be rejoicing. Not when we get out or you never learn the lesson. Do you understand? You need to learn to rejoice in the midst of the fiery furnace. You do. I tell my son this often. I say, son, the Lord is dealing with you. And it's awesome to see. And there's a lesson to be learned right now. But if you're not going to take it, He's going to bring it again. And it's going to be hotter. And He's going to bring it again. And it's going to be hotter. Take it now. Move to the next glory. Come on. And that's exactly what He wants. He wants us to move on from glory to glory. And He'll take us there. But brothers and sisters, we must allow Him to take it. And get out of this defeated state where we're there week after week, year after year. And this is what this healing is calling out to. I do not want to be condemned, and don't go getting all funny about this, because we know back in verse 9 what he's talking about here. These are saved ones, but this is Revelation 3:7. He is standing at the door, and he's going to open that door, and there's going to be a company, and yes, there is going to be a first trump company, and they are ready, and they are not sleeping. And they are not acting as the ones in the that are in darkness. And the reason he says that to them is to sober up, or you're going to miss it. Period. That's it. Wake up. The door is going to be open. Be ready. ready to fly, ready to take flight. But I'm going to tell you something. You better be soaring down here right now. You better be wearing those wings right now. You better be using those wings right now. Praise the Lord. That's how He does it. But brothers and sisters, it is. It's either going to be by faith we're going to enter in, or by feeling we're going to miss it and be shut out. We need to get over our hurt feelings. We really do. My goodness. Endure hardness as a good soldier. You know, being a soldier is rough. I love to talk to, God willing, I'll go see him again this week, Brother Gene Cook. Man, is that fun to talk to that brother. Out at night, he could hear the bullets going through his plane. And really, how many missions? I can't even tell you how many missions that brother flew. Fearful? Yeah, he was fearful at times. But he knew that the Lord was with him. And the Lord brought him back every single time. But he endured that hardness. He persevered. And brothers and sisters, it is going to be that way. We need to trust God that the lot that we are in is the lot that He's brought us to. And that it's the lot that's going to bring us to the end of ourself. You know, I was talking to someone and they said, well, brother, don't you believe that if you really reach the end of yourself that you're ready to go to be with the Lord? Well, I'm talking about, do you know how many times you need to reach the end of yourself? What do you think? I've reached the end of myself before, but He's always got something new to show me there's another end of myself that I got to reach. What do you think? Amen. Praise the Lord. See, He's testing us, trying us. I told you about that man that was working that glass up there in Seattle. What an artist. One of the finest there is. And he'd get that glass, he'd pound it, he'd bend it, he'd do all that stuff to it, and he'd put it back in there, and it started with a little lump. And then he worked it, and we watched him for quite a long time, about 15, 20 minutes into it. Man, he brought out this bowl that was stunning. It was awesome. It looked like, I want that, you know, but there's not way I was going to pay that kind of money for it, but it was fun to look at. But he brought that out, and I said, man, isn't that beautiful? And then that guy, he took that thing, and he wadded it right back up and stuck it back in there. I thought, he ruined that good thing he just made. And I asked the person, I said, why does he keep doing that? He says, it becomes more pure, and it becomes more beautiful. But he's got to stretch it out like it's mold, and then he brings it back in, and he puts it back in there. I couldn't believe that he'd do that. I thought he'd take little chips and little this. Oh, no. I'm telling you what, when you're in the fire, you're in the fire. And it melts and it gets down. It looks like a gob of glue again. And they took that thing out. And each time he'd bring it back out, it was more and more beautiful. Yeah, I can't really explain. The colors were more vibrant. It was so absolutely... And every time you'd say, oh, well, it's done. It's perfect. Don't touch it. And you sit there and go, oh, there's no way it's going to come out any more beautiful the next time. And every single time it came back more beautiful and more beautiful. And you know what? It was fitting because I never got to see him finish it. I didn't. It wasn't done. Until we see him face to face, it's not done. Oh, Jesus, thank you. Oh, thank you. See, only faith is going to wait on him like that. And sometimes it does look mighty marred and mighty ugly and mighty hopeless. But never looking into here does it ever appear that way. Praise His name. Now, confess and pray. See, so often many forget the prayer. And notice what it says here. It's one for another. See, praying brings the healing salve. I've always felt this in my life. Lord, when I break before you, that's the confession. It's like that wound needing to be opened, getting rid of the poison. Just open before him. But then it's the prayer that's the salve. that comes in, and it's the balm. And we need them both, brothers and sisters, because God's medicine is always perfect, it's always complete, and it's always healing. And you'll notice here it says that the prayer of a righteous man. And brothers and sisters, that's so important there, because see, these righteous hearts are the hearts of kings. Just as Christ Jesus himself, they yearn for the healing of the body. See, if we're in a place where we don't want to see somebody healed, if we're in a place where we say, well, see, that brother or that sister, they got what they deserved, you're in a very sorry place. You're in a very sad place. Your heart is not the heart of a king. It's the heart of a child. It's the heart of a very spoiled child. A child that does not want to grow up. A child that's being defiant. I want to grow up into him in all things. And that is having a heart of a king. Ye that are spiritual, restore. Amen?
Amen.
Ye that are spiritual, we don't pick. We don't want to keep bringing something up. By God's grace, it's not that we're living in denial. We understand these things. But ye that are spiritual, you restore. And you restore by faith. And you restore in prayer. And you restore in this wonderful love that he's talking about. And brothers and sisters, the heart of a king wants to see all healed. Wants to see all in his best. Till we all come is a passion. An absolute passion that is on the heart of this full overcomer. This wonderful, sure, you are righteous. The moment you gave your heart to God, you are righteous. But we're talking about truly the most holy faith. Come on now, to pray for one another, to win him, to have that vision, and to have that love for the head and the body, that there is no respecter, there is no dissimulation. Christ in me loves Christ in you. I want to see you win God's best. I don't want to fight with you. I want to argue with you. I want to love you. We're going to stand for the truth. By his grace, we're going to rightfully divide the word of God. But it's going to be a stand in love. And by God's grace, I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm not. I'm going to pray. And we're going to pray fervently. And we're not going to be angry and say, well, I'm going to just cut that one out. You know, they were so ugly and they just don't want to have anything to do with the truth and blah, blah, and all that. I understand that there might not be fellowship. But God help you, there better always be love. Always. And prayer. That you're anticipating and exciting and expecting from the Lord. Lord, could that restoration even be today? Them some hard words sometimes, aren't they? There's some brothers and sisters that have done some pretty hard things against the truth. But you can only do, praise God, for it, and we'll just pray. So, let's go on. In Thessalonians here. Where do I want to go with that there? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 14, let's turn over there. Let's read the heart of these full overcomers in Christ. Now, it says there, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Now these are the full overcomers. We're just coming right out of here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 5. These are the ones that are awake, that are sober, that are awake in faith and love, that have this hope of salvation that captivates every thought. These are the ones that are quickened to obtain salvation. A lot of people say, well, I'm already saved. Well, sure, you're. If you're saved, you're saved. But are you running to obtain salvation like it says up there in verse 9? The out resurrection? Are you living Philippians 3:11? If by any means I might attain? What do you think? Huh? I don't want to miss the open door. I'll be in heaven someday. Rest assured I will. I've got a promise. I'm already seated there. But face to face, my goodness, I wanted it the first trumpet. I'll be there. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, see, brothers and sisters, these are spiritual restorers, we read here. These are the lovers of the body, the ones that are quick to pray, quick to cover the sin. Isn't that wonderful to cover? Do you see how people, you talk about confessing. I know that there's meetings out there that want you to get up. Well, you did something. You've got to tell everybody in the whole congregation. What in the world's the matter with you? You see how you take that completely out of context? The Word of God tells us to cover the sin. Don't parade it around. The cross. Nurture. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We're down to that effectual, fervent prayer. Well, what's it say there? It says, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. Wow, look at that. The word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, they believed it. We're going to noodle it around. Well, we'll contemplate what you're talking. No, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. It's not that he cometh to God is contingent upon how I feel. I would have never come to God. I must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And you know how he rewards you? With grace to believe him. I just believe you, God, and you reward me with faith. I believe you more and more. And the more I come in there, the more faith you believe. Give me to believe you. It's awesome. But see, this word effectual here, effectual fervent prayer works effectually. This is operative power. It means it's going on. And who is it to? It's them that believe. Not them that can recite a scripture. Not them that can quote it over and over. But to them that believe. Let the word of God have operative power in your life. Isn't it your life? Isn't faith the life that you live now? It is, whether you want to believe it or not. If you're a child of God, you live one way, and that's by faith. And I sure love to live. I do. Not taking breath. I'm talking about alive living. I'm talking about abundant life living. I'm talking about where I'm just so thankful. Not to be alive, but thankful to be alive in Jesus. That Jesus is alive in me. It's awesome how much more vivid everything is. But see, the evidence of that, brothers and sisters, of that living, alive power, it's the good works. And now we go back to this James, which is so wonderful. Faith without works is dead. That's the operating power of faith in us. It's the evidence of believing in God is the good works that come from believing in God. That he causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. That, Lord, I know you. I know it's going to be good. I know you'll perform that. You'll perfect that. I know that you've already laid out for me the before ordained good works that I should walk therein. Just lead me. You told me to rise up, and you said, follow. By your grace, I'll follow you, and you'll lead me. And praise God, that's how it works. And brothers and sisters, it is so marvelous, this operating power, and how happy it is that we get this, and I pray we continue to get it, that it is the testimony of the grace of God. Jesus Christ tells us, believe me, and I'll show you the effectual working power of the righteousness imputed to you by me. This is why it's not the gift, it's not the elder, but it's grace through faith. It's not in a title, brothers and sisters. It's the grace of God. It's so marvelous. And I love verse 17 as we wrap this up here. We have Elias here. And that sweet prophet Elijah. And what a prophet. One of the ones seen on Mount Transfiguration. But he was just a man, like passions, just as we, like infirmities, just as we, down settings and uprising, just like you and me. And may we not lift up ourselves, comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. Amen? Amen. I want to love Christ in you, and by God's grace, love Christ in me. And we are one. And there is this wonderful, glorious body. And should we not rejoice when our bodies are exalted? And should we not sorrow and feel that infirmity when parts in our body are injured? Amen? I would do that in this natural body, which is temporal. I like when it's feeling good. I sure do. Because I found out what it's like when it's not feeling good. And I take care of it. I don't just go trashing it around. By God's grace, I do. I tend to the wound. Don't want an infection to spread. Want to try to take care of it as best we can. But at the same time, I don't get obsessed with it. I still give it over to God. Amen? Do you see what I'm saying there, even for our body here? I pray for you. We'll rejoice with you. But brothers and sisters, let's not get perplexed over one another. Huh? I know who's in control. I know who's for you. And you know who's for me. And praise the Lord, He will take care of it. But this is wonderful in this dear brother here. Because when we start going this way of puffing ourselves up, as opposed to this wonderful example of humility in this dear prophet, who so mightily God used and so mightily knew the truth. But when we go to puff up ourselves, there's no stopping our self-righteousness if we go that way. There isn't. Self-righteousness feeds on more self-righteousness. It doesn't stop. It's like a glory begats a glory. Sin continues to begat sin. If you stay in it, it will compound it. And this self-righteousness is so dirty, it will consume you. We will eventually be magnifying ourselves, even as gods, maybe in no time. And I'll give you a testimony of this. I heard recently that there are some brothers, and I'm talking about ones that know, or I should say they do, they know the truth, and had a sweet testimony of really true truth in their life and truth in love. But they're starting to exalt themselves as the only spiritual ones. He has the gift of restoring. Oh my goodness. I hope that I'm spiritual. And God said, ye that are spiritual, restore. I pray that you're spiritual and you should be. And you can restore. Bring the balm. Bring the love of God. Preach grace. Amen? My goodness, if I come to you in that kind of an attitude, well, I'm the only one that can restore this. Let me tell you something. No, I'm not. And no, I can't. And I'm not even anywhere near restoring anything. The only thing I'll bring is more division and harm. And that's the truth. Ye that are spiritual. Spirit full. Think about it. Praise the Lord. See, God help us to take the place in the body. Always realizing the authority, power, and ability comes from the head. And just as Elijah brings out here this example, just because somebody does something that is miraculous, a miracle, doesn't necessarily mean that they're mature in the Lord. Did you know that? And that's the truth. Just because somebody has a great gift does not mean that they're mature in the Lord. And yet, so many of God's precious people, they want to quickly and highly esteem someone just because they have a gift. And honestly, in my lifetime, I can attest this, that most times the most mature saints I've ever met have never really manifested great gifts. It's the truth. Except the one greatest, I believe. And that's the line upon line and precept upon precept that's building the masterpiece that's going to rule and reign with Him in the midst of the throne. That's the truth. Think about it. Think about those poor Corinthians. They were full of gifts, weren't they? And that's all their church became. And Paul so gloriously was sent. He sure didn't want to dwell there long, did he? You bunch of misfits. What are you doing? Look where it's going. And we studied that. I mean, you saw how it completely went to their head. They became so full of fornication and adultery. They were twisting scripture to, well, that's fine. See, it works out. Gifts gone amok. Strange fire. Where's your confidence? Is it in the Word? Or is it in something that you need to see? I pray we're not like those children in Israel. I just pray we're not. That we've got to see a miracle after a miracle to follow Him. 3 days down, we're murmuring again. God help us. See, that's not the maturity that God wants in our lives. But I've seen it often, and I just encourage that the Lord really get our eyes upon Him. I met a sweet man the other day, very gifted, with a gift. And Christians that didn't know any better, they were doting all over him. And all I can do is pray for that man that he really would know the truth, because he didn't know much of it. Peter, brothers and sisters, when he really became a spiritual leader later on in his life, when the Spirit came so fully into his life to have him pen 1 Peter and 2 Peter, you'll read through there and never mentions one time any of the miracles that were so prevalent in his life. You think about it, man, just the shadow of that guy walking by you, His eyes are fixed on that one fella. That wasn't important anymore, was it? All he could talk about was Brother Paul. That's all he could talk about. He really could, even at the very end. He said, that vessel has the message. My heart broke when I was thinking about my dear brother Peter, because I believe that there was a yearning to look into it, just like Daniel. Some things are hard to be understood. To them that wrestle, to them that are going to be tossed to and fro. But oh, that Paul, praise God, he's got it. Thank you, Jesus. But you know that he so sweetly didn't waver in faith any longer at that time, as it was wrapping up in his life, because the thought of the miracles and all of those things that consumed him were no longer that way. Let's go ahead and close this up in Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. And it says there, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's just what we just talked about, wasn't it? And see, that's kind of what we were reading there in James about the envy that was going on. In verse 9, grudging that was going on, We want to love, brothers and sisters. When I'm not happy for you, as you advance in the things of the Lord, something's wrong with me. When I don't grieve for you, if you're not going on with God, something's the matter with me. We're one. We are one. It's wonderful, brothers and sisters, if the Spirit's given us a gift of healing, a gift of discernment, a gift of faith, whatever it is. But the gift is not to be magnified, it's God. It's His grace, and in that grace we grow. And by His word of grace, it builds us up and gives us an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. Truth in love is the only way we will ever grow up into Him in all things. It's not gifts, it's the Word of God. And verse 18, 19, and 20 so sweetly remind us, that there may be some dark times. Matter of fact, there were some dark ages, weren't there, in these centuries that came not too long ago. But there is a prayer, and even more so, there's the very will of God. There's a latter rain. And I'm so thankful to Jesus that by His grace, He's placed us in the latter rain. And it's poured forth abundantly, brothers and sisters. And I believe that God in His grace has allowed us to drink from that sweet cup of salvation. And the fruit is becoming ripe. It's awesome. I don't flatter you. I don't build you up in any way. Because it's God. It's Christ. It's grace. Hallelujah. We don't puff up ourselves. All we do is we're thankful for the grace of God. We're thankful that we've taken this. And by His grace that we may take more. But the precious value of restoration here, brothers and sisters, as James signs off, may we have the like passion as Jesus Christ. May we truly have a heart that would pray for every sheep. That when we pray here, as we come together every Sunday in every service, to pray for God's precious people everywhere, in everything. And that we would have the desire that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. See, that's perfect love. That's the perfected love. Oftentimes, as bridal runners, we think we're running and all we're thinking about is ourselves. You don't. You prefer the other before yourself. You're more aware of the need in a sweet sense, in a loving sense of the saints more than your own. It just becomes, well, because Christ liveth in me. You don't try for it. You know when people try to do it, don't work. It's evident. That stinking self-righteousness, you can smell it anywhere. But when one really grows up, really takes that sweet cup and drinks. Oh, how sweet the incense comes up. How sweet the evidence. But that we would desire this, brothers and sisters, perfect love perfected in all. That we would not be a respecter of person, to have a vision of Christ growing up in each and every one. Amen. Amen. That's the faith that worketh by love. And that's the evidence, brothers and sisters, of truly, as I think James, one of the big verses that's quoted all the time, well, see, faith without works is dead. It is. It is. And I'm grateful to God that His grace takes that faith and magnifies the wondrous work of the love of God. Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed.